CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. The government shutdown contributing to thousands of flight delays on Tuesday as air traffic controllers work without pay, some of them calling out sick. Other federal workers are simply not working at all and not drawing a paycheck.
Air traffic controllers are exempt from being furloughed during a shutdown, but some 750,000 federal workers are currently out of work. Now, President Trump suggesting not all federal workers on furlough are entitled to receive back pay once the government reopens, even though that is the law.
ABC's Victor Okendo. Six former surgeons general have penned a letter telling the public they have no faith in Health Secretary Robert Kennedy's vaccine policies. Attorney General Pam Bondi repeatedly deflecting questions during a Senate hearing that came on the heels of the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey amid questions about the politicization of the Justice Department. Nobel Prize in Chemistry was handed out today. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A former UW Richland staff member and county board member died last month. Linda Gentis, 76 of Richland Center, died unexpectedly September 6th at home as a result of a rapid infection. Linda believed in education as a changing opportunity for all people and dedicated much of her life to fostering these opportunities. She was an elementary school teacher in Connecticut and Illinois. In Richland Center, Linda was an outspoken advocate for the University of Wisconsin-Richland campus, acting as director of continuing education from 1986 to 2004. During this time, she earned her master's degree in continuing and vocational education at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 1999. She inspired and organized the Love of Learning lectures, bringing both culture and practical information to members of the community from members of the community. While at UW Richland in the 1990s, she was also the International Student Program Coordinator, nurturing and mentoring many young adults. Later in her career for 14 years, Linda took on the role of coordinator for engaging students in the first year, fostering non-traditional students in their first forays into college. Linda was deeply engaged in her community on every level. For the last 10 years, she served on the Richland County Board, chairing both the Health and Human Services Board and the UW Richland Board, stepping down in 2024 to care for Hank. She had faith in the operations of community, of the political process, of civil discourse, and of fueling idealism with active pragmatism. A celebration of life will be held at 2 o'clock Sunday at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center with memory sharing and music. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a AAA pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
It is going to be mostly sunny and cool today. Our high right around 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a little more frost possible. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
During Medicare's open enrollment, It's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Todd Alba.
As the government remains shut down, what solutions are in sight, if any, and the political fallout in Wisconsin? We'll discuss it with Trigvi Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kraitlow. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Yeehaw.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kraitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, the guy who's a little worried about how much traffic he's going to have to go through on his way home.
I hate Dallas.
Founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kraitlow.
I will never make jokes about Illinois drivers again. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, 2025. It surely is another beautiful morning up north, but even from here, live in Texas this week, we appreciate you joining us from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, listening by podcast. Just appreciate you getting your day started right here and started with the greeting and introduction from producer Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, where, yes, as I get set to wrap up a few days in Dallas here, I will not miss the traffic one bit. Not one. Texas, I mean, the Illinois driver thing, you know, they occasionally will make a jerk move. You know, that's the main thing. They'll speed past you, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Here, every intersection, you take your life into your own hands. You never know who is going to come barreling through at any given point. I mean, the lights and signs mean nothing down here. It is just absolutely crazy.
That shouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know why that surprises me for Texas.
Well, because keep in mind that yesterday or the day before, I was raving about the highway system itself.
That's true.
Again, because there's a lot of land here. You can make the highways very wide. You can have the express lanes. There's all these extra ramps and bridges and all that. But I think that's great when it's not rush hour. Yeah. I've now had to make a couple of different runs out to the airport to take, you know, our younger daughter back so she could fly back home, and then to take, you know, some our other grandkids so they could fly off, and then we're flying out tomorrow. And I'm telling you, you can't pave your way to easy traffic around that Dallas-Fort Worth airport. It's just not possible. But it is what it is. We still managed to have a good time. Our daughter that lives here took us to the Fort Worth Stockyards yesterday.
Oh yeah,
is a must. You get to see all the Longhorn cattle being, you know, marched down the cobblestone streets of what used to be a very bustling, you know, meatpacking area, but now lots of touristy shops and things like that. And yes, Parker, just for you, I did take photos of the chaps that were on sale.
Did you buy any?
No, I did not buy any. I have no need. No need.
No need.
Nor for any cowboy hats or arrowheads or lassos or you name. I mean, look, there's tourist traps everywhere.
Yeah.
Texas is no exception.
Well, yeah. So my brother learned how to lasso in high school.
For what practical purpose, dare I ask?
He was in a musical. He was doing Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, musical theater, then that's fine. I mean, it wasn't like he was looking for a prom date or something. I'd pick you.
No, certainly not.
Good, good. That's a nice development then. So anyway, all going well. It'll be nice to get home, that's for sure. Where things continue to be busy. It's a busy season back home with all kinds of political notes. And so I've got a question for you. Did you assume that Josh Call was basically going to waltz right into the governor's race? Because you can't be blamed if that's what you thought. It was, after all, that's the Tony Evers path to the governor's office. But Josh Call is going to run instead for a third term as state attorney general. And we're going to talk more about that in just about 10 minutes or so. And we're going to do a little compare and contrast of Wisconsin's attorney general versus the United States attorney general, Pam Bondi, and the reality trash TV worthy performance that she gave yesterday when testifying before Congress. So we'll have that discussion coming up. Also later in the show, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, who is from the Patriotic Millionaires Group. And he has this book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and the Planet. He is one of the grandsons of Oscar Mayer, so he knows a thing or two about family fortunes and how wealth is first collected, but then protected, and then you pursue political power, and then you actually take that power and extract more wealth out of the middle class. All the stuff that happened during the Gilded Age, which is happening again right now. And so Chuck Collins talks about how do you fight that? And it's not a matter of going after the billionaires themselves, although that they make a tempting target, but it is the system. And you have to elect people that pledge to fix the system and make it work better for everybody and not just for your biggest and best campaign donors. We're also going to be talking in our homeroom segment. This is basically our one Texas segment while I'm down here, is talking to an official who works with a group that supports public schools and the ongoing battles that they face because of support for taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. And she works especially with Texas schools, but can tell us that from Texas and other states, what lessons can we learn in Wisconsin? Because we've got a voucher system that is already approaching the $1 billion a year price tag. And what can we do before this beast becomes an absolute taxpayer catastrophe? So that's coming up at 7:35 in our homeroom segment. We're going to talk to Ellie Bardot, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. And of course, it's Wednesday, so we've got all kinds of regular friends. Earl Ingram about his podcast, Melissa Baldoff talking about climate, Jimmy Cuska talking about sports. If you can't stick around for all of it, you should get us as a podcast as well. And that way you can listen on demand. Head over to Spotify and follow the program. Follow all of the civic media shows. You can do it at Apple as well or wherever you get your podcast. And take us along. Another way to follow what we do on all of these shows across civic media is to get the Civic Media Daily Newsletter, Civic Media Today. That's on Substack. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com for more. From a sports standpoint, we've got the Brewers playing the Cubs a little later on this afternoon in the National League Division Series, Game 3, hopefully going for a sweep as the series moves to Wrigley Field. But let's start with the games from last night, because one of them, Parker, was especially exciting, where the Yankees were facing elimination, and they were down early in their game to the Toronto Blue Jays, 6-1. And they managed to come all the way back thanks to, I think you've heard of this guy, Aaron Judge. He's pretty good. Kid, a game-tying homer. He drove in four runs overall in a clutch performance for the ages, they're saying, as the Yankees staved off elimination, rallying from being down 6-1 to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 9-6 in Game 3. It was the Yankees' largest comeback ever in an elimination game, which is saying something given the storied history of that franchise. They will do it again tonight at Yankee Stadium. In the other American League Division Series, Game 3, the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers 8-4 last night. So Seattle's up 2-1 on Detroit. So we've got the full load of Division Series games today, including the Brewers going for that 3-game sweep against the Cubs as the series moves to Wrigley Field for today's start. It is a 4:08 start, which means that pregame coverage begins on stations of the Civic Media Radio Network starting at 3:30 this afternoon. Again, pregame 3:30 for Brewers versus Cubs. If the Brewers don't win this afternoon, then game four will be at Wrigley Field tomorrow. So again, that full slate of games, it's Seattle-Detroit at 2, Brewers-Cubs at 4, Blue Jays-Yankees at 6, and then Phillies-Dodgers at 8, where the Dodgers are up 2 games to love over Philadelphia as well. So we've got a very busy week for baseball here. At some point, we'll talk about the Packers again, but I'm a baseball guy.
This is the best postseason baseball
whenever we can.
This is the best time of year for sports because you get MLB postseason, you get NFL, you get all the college football. It's a great time. And plus, like, people like Dan Schaefer are really excited about Bucks preseason.
Yes, he is. We talked about that yesterday in our 8:30 half hour, how excited Dan is for the Bucks to get going as compared to those of us who pay attention to the NBA sometime after March Madness is all done. Since, you know, the NBA postseason now stretches into half of summer, it feels like. But you got to start the season sometime, and it's going to be starting here real soon. And then, of course, like you mentioned, there's college football as well. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa. They will play a late game on Saturday. Pre-game coverage begins at 4 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. So what else have we got? Oh, Dan, we talked about Dan. I should plug his newsletter as well. He has the Recombobulation Area. The recombobulationarea.news is where you sign up. And of course, he contributes to the aforementioned Civic Media Today newsletter that you can get over at Substack. So have you altered your plans for today so that, you know, when you've got the Brewers Cubs playing at 4 o'clock that you can clear the decks and pay attention to things?
Well, frankly, my biggest worry during that time period is me being asleep, because that's a pretty prime nap time for me. So
it's funny. I have never heard somebody in their early 20s talk so much about nap time until Parker got this early morning gig and talks about it that way. But you know, I'm glad you protect the napdom. I like that.
You need to. It's, believe me, Pat, I need to.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm hoping to get a little downtime as well, because I am definitely getting into that travel, heartburn phase, where when you're traveling, and don't get me wrong, travel's great, but at some point you realize you're pretty much all the time eating out at some place.
Sure.
You know, yesterday when the show got done, my daughter's like, oh, there's a great bagel shop. So we got those great, you know, bagel sandwiches. And then we're at the Stockyards for lunch. Well, you got to have barbecue. So of course there's a big old plate of brisket and ribs to work on. And then later it was, you know, well, should we make a little something here? No, there's a really cool restaurant, you know, down the road. Let's go try that out. So of course, somewhere in the middle of the night, it occurs to me, I haven't had just a simple, basic home cooked meal in a while, and today better be that day for it. Because there's nothing else. There's room for this cup of coffee around everything else, and then that's going to do it. And then a little bit of downtime for the Brewers game.
That's fair. Yeah, and it kind of sucks too because you don't have your own bed to go to, really.
No. And again, you know, travel's great, but at some point you go, oh, these are not my pillows. This is not my mattress. And you learn to appreciate it so much more when you get back to it. And especially in a place like Texas, where, again, it was 90 yesterday, you know, outside. You'd get into your car in the parking lot and it would be 212 degrees.
Yeah, you
know,
burn your butt inside the car. Seat.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Still a little toasty down here. But again, I will have all winter to think about this and say, I appreciate seasons, even the winter ones, more so than, you know, eternal heat. Eternal heat's kind of overrated, having lived on an island for 3 years. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for jeans and hoodies. Yeah, you know,
variety's good. I'm a big winter guy. I like it.
Yeah. So bring that on. I'll be ready to go back to the hoodies. And I think we've seen the last of the 80s, you know, or at least the upper 80s in Wisconsin. So, you know, It's fall. It's Packer time. We just got to get the Brewers a little deeper into the postseason as well. Well, coming up in a moment, as I said, we've got Attorney General Josh Call deciding not to run for governor, which kind of goofed up our question of the week in the newsletter. But we'll talk more about that and about the embarrassment of the U.S. Attorney General on Capitol Hill yesterday. Thanks for joining us here on the Civic Media Radio Network live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
So, as I mentioned, Josh Call has a lot of things to think about as state attorney general. I don't think he was thinking about messing up our question of the week, but he did. I'm sure he didn't mean to, but by announcing yesterday that he is not going to run for governor, it kind of messed up our first way too early poll for governor for Wisconsin for 2026. It was part of our Sunday morning newsletter, originally and creatively titled Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of our homepage. And yeah, this past Sunday, we said, well, here are the people who have said they're running for governor. We're also going to throw in Attorney General Josh Call because he might run. And we'll throw in former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes because he might run yet. And then everybody who has announced, what do you think? And we did get some responses from people who said that Josh Call would be their first choice for governor. They really like what he has done as attorney general, trying to keep the Trump administration accountable, you know, fighting for consumer protection and all of the things that a good state attorney general does. Well, those folks aren't going to get to vote for Josh Call at this point. Mandela Barnes has now said that he is seriously considering getting into the race for governor, but it is not official yet. But we've also been receiving a lot of replies from people who, like all of the other candidates who are running, everybody from beer vendor Ryan Sternad to, you know, members of the legislature and non-politicians alike, And so again, to be the first to see our question of the week on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. So getting back to Josh Call's announcement yesterday that he's going to run instead for a third term as Attorney General, he told Wisconsin Public Radio, quote, "This is such an important time for the role of attorneys general around the country. I think it's a pivotal time for the country, and I think some of our most basic rights are under threat." WPR notes that Call has signed on to several dozen multi-state lawsuits against the Trump administration. Those have targeted different cuts to federal funds and grants, access to personal data, the firings of federal workers, Trump's attempt to block birthright citizenship, among other policies as well. Now, speculation about Josh Call running for governor someday even predated Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term next year, because Josh Call would have been on the Tony Evers track for governor, having won multiple statewide elections already. But ultimately, Call decided to stay put, and that leaves more than a half dozen other Democrats now seeking the governor's post. And all of them, you know, good candidates in their own way for governor. And then Josh Call hoping to continue the good service that he has provided to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And that's the difference between having an attorney general who's driven by mission to the rule of law and one who is instead just engaged in theater. And that takes us to Pam Bondi, the corrupt Florida attorney general turned to corrupt U.S. attorney general, turned a congressional inquiry about abuse at the Justice Department into the usual Trump-worthy responses worthy of the trash TV that this administration truly represents. Bondi refused to answer questions and instead hurled juvenile insults, making clear she has no business being the top law enforcement official of the United States of America. Her ongoing audition to please Donald Trump is just embarrassing and now borders on the criminally contempt. Of course, there's something Pam Bondi knows a thing or two about, and that is, you know, being borderline criminally contempt. She first came on the scene 12 years ago when her Florida Attorney General's office declined to assist in the investigation of widespread fraud committed by Trump University. It was then discovered that a political group supporting Bondi had received a $25,000 political contribution from the Trump Foundation. One problem: foundations cannot make political contributions. Eventually, Trump would shut down the fraudulent Trump Foundation and the fraudulent Trump University. In return, he got a fraudulent lackey who would later serve as United States Attorney General. So yesterday's behavior was not really news. On the release of files related to sexual predator and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein, despite saying earlier this year that the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk for review, Bondi said yesterday she actually had yet to review the documents. On the legal justification for a president to send military troops into the streets of American cities instead of protecting our country from outside enemies, Bondi resorted to legal arguments best described as, "I know you are, but what am I?" And then there's Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, who was recorded last year accepting what appears to be a bribe of $50,000 in cash. Not only has the investigation apparently been dropped, but when she was asked yesterday if taxpayers got the bribe money back from Homan, Bondi wouldn't say. Again, acting more like a mouthpiece for her boss rather than the person most responsible for ensuring that there is equal treatment under the law. Now, did any Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee take Bondi to task for choosing drama over substance and failure to answer these important questions about the politicization of the U.S. Department of Justice? Of course not. They were joining in on some other weighty matters like Hunter Biden and the 2020 election. You know, two of the issues at the heart of Donald Trump's two impeachments, where Republicans chose politics over law and democracy. I could go on and on, but the point is that in looking at Josh Call and Pam Bondi yesterday, we know what a good attorney general looks like, and we know what a stooge looks like. And expecting justice from the current U.S. Department of Justice is just something that's not in the cards. Coming up next, today's history lesson, we'll start off with a little Cool in the Gang by Cool himself. That's coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
If you're a connoisseur of butter, you may be feeling left out of a global trend. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. I'll explain what that's all about next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Apparently, there is a global trend of consumers looking for pasture-raised butter. That's word from Dr. Greg Brickner. He is a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship. He said this is a market that the United States, to a large extent, is missing out on. Areas like New Zealand seem to be the blueprint moving forward, and he's investigating.
Really, the only place that a grazing dairy farmer can get a premium for their work is through organic and organic grass-fed markets then. And those are difficult markets to get into. They take time to transition into. And even though they have a very high pay price, they have very high input costs as well. So profitability is just as challenging in those. And so we're trying to provide a conventional grass-based market, much like is done in the rest of the world, New Zealand and Ireland.
Dr. Greg Brickner, he's a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program. He said if the United States can focus a little bit more effort on pasture-raised butter, the premiums could be there. Last year alone, American consumers bought and consumed an average of 2.7 million pounds of butter each day.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
And did you know this is National 4-H Week? 4-H'ers have been found to be twice as likely to have the goal of being a leader, three times more likely to participate in community service, and twice as likely to report living life with intentionality and purpose. Find out more at the number 4-H.org. There's your food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be mostly sunny and cool today. Our high right around 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a little more frost possible. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger public address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Wrong day!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Feels like a Yacht Rock kind of day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't play a little Cool in the Gang without going, who is Cool from Cool in the Gang? To which Robert Bell says, I'm cool. Robert Cool Bell turns 75 years old today.
He said, I'm just me.
It's me. I mean, I don't know if he gave himself the name Cool or somebody else did, but he's cool. And he's got a gang. So Cool in the Gang.
Yeah. You know.
And all of their many hits.
The whole... I'm glad you said Yacht Rock, because that reminded me of the... did you hear about the little Craig Council hates Yacht Rock?
No.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So the Brewers, on the day before the series started, so I think on Friday last week, the Cubs were taking BP in the stadium, and the Brewers were playing kind of slow songs like Yacht Rock.
I did hear about that. Yes.
Turns out apparently that was because Craig Council, very vocally, which is a weird thing to do, hates Yacht Rock.
So that's why I didn't know why they were playing Yacht Rock for the Cubs BP.
Yeah.
But it turns out he expressed a strong dislike for Yacht Rock.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing to be vocal about.
Yeah, so for those of you going, you know, Pat, you're so hard on Craig Council all the time. I mean, he's a Milwaukee product. He's a beloved son of the city. And he did such great things for the Brewers. Now you're mad because he went to play for the Cubs. Yeah, now this.
This is the last straw.
This is my line in the sand with the Yacht Rock. So that's it, Craig Council. We're done.
Wow.
Okay, we were already done ahead of time.
But I mean,
yeah. All right, this is not a... happy day in history. On this day in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. It was also the Great Peshtigo Fire. It was also the Great Michigan Fire. None of them all knew at the time that this was going on, but they had all ignited this day in 1871, exacerbated by months of drought, years of slash and burn forest practices, and then a strong weather front that blew embers for miles and miles. So a very deadly, very serious day in all of those locations, from Chicago up to Northeast Wisconsin, up to the UP, this day in 1871. Let's get a little closer to the present time. Let's take you as far as 1982, where Culture Club released their debut album, Kissing to Be Clever. Kissing to Be Clever included their Time Clock of the Heart and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me and I'll Tumble For You. It was basically, you know, Boy George and Company unleashing a wave of acts from the UK that populated early MTV. You had groups like Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, The Human League, Eurythmics, and more. You know, basically it's when our generation looked back at, say, the 70s with the polyester leisure suits and the 60s with the mini skirts, and we thought, oh, well, we live in the normal time. And now we look back at that time, at Boy
what
George,
the hell?
All the other bands of early MTV, and we're like, no, everybody becomes dated at this point, you know?
What do you think is going to stand out from today's style that people are going to go, really?
See, that's always the big question, is you don't know at the time. Then you look back at, you know, whether it's, we look back now at pages from the Sears catalog, you know, and we look at the styles there and we just kind of wince. And I don't know what it'll be. And the thing is, it's not that the style was right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that it changes. And so you look back at something so different.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's clearly dated. Well, no, it's just what was normal then.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Later in the decade of the 80s, you went from the British MTV groups, you know, that were like overdressed. You went to hair bands like Def Leppard, and they had the number one song this day in 1988. So Def Leppard's Love Bites was one of the many hair band ballads that charted, such as Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison, Whitesnake's What Is This Love? There was Always by Bon Jovi, and of course, the worst of them all, Sister Christian by Night Ranger. But in each case, all of these bands learned that while it was fun to rock out, it was also very lucrative to slow things down now and then. And it's funny how many stories I've seen of bands that they started making money when they did these ballads and slow songs and love songs, and the band members were like, dude, we're here to rock out. And, you know, then their manager would show them the royalty check for the slow stuff. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
On Facebook.
Oh, boy.
The comment section from Roger.
Oh.
Roger writes, you hear Boy George's pet lizard bit three people? Authorities have warned him he needs a calmer chameleon. I'm laughing because Parker has no idea why that's so funny. So I will teach him the song Karma Chameleon in the break. I promise.
Oh, boy.
But for those of us of a certain age, that was a good one there, Roger. Thank you very much. On this day in 1948, John Cummings was born in Long Island, a founding member of the Ramones. He became Johnny Ramone and passed away in 2004. On this day in 1965, C.J. Ramone, the bassist and occasional vocalist, was born Christopher Joseph Ward in Queens, New York City. On this day in 1980, Talking Heads released their fourth album, Remain in Light, including this hit.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife.
Letting the days go by, let the water.
Yes, that was 45 years ago that Talking Heads released Remain in Light. On this day in 1956, the New York Yankees' Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in a World Series. And, you know, just great video of catcher Yogi Berra jumping up into his arms at the end of the game. And again, there's been one postseason no-hitter since then, but no perfect game. On this day in 1982, after its London premiere, Cats opened on Broadway and ran for nearly 18 years before closing in September of 2000. Is that anywhere in your, ever saw it or a group that performed it or anything like that? Because I'm not. I've never seen Cats.
I am very aware of Cats. I have not seen Cats, though.
Okay. Let's see. More birthdays. Oh, several birthdays here today. Let's start with Bruno Mars. Happy birthday to Bruno. He is 40 years old today.
What?
Because you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven.
Well, that's how these things work. You know, you're an overnight sensation at a ripe old age after you've been paying your dues for years and years. But
yeah,
I mean, this song itself now is going back, almost 10 years, right? Locked out of heaven.
I don't know how old this is.
We'll look into that. Chevy Chase is 82 years old today. Actress Sigourney Weaver is 76 today. Actor Matt Damon is... we don't have time for Matt Damon. I'm sorry. Jimmy Kimmel would tell you he's 55 years old today. And here's another one of those that'll make you feel a little bit older. Angus T. Jones. Little Jake from Two and a Half Men is 32 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
30. Yeah, see? Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah.
All right. On this day in 1983, I'm going to tell you about the number one and number two songs on the chart. The number two song was Making Love Out of Nothing at All by Air Supply. And the number one song Total Eclipse of the Heart was from Bonnie Tyler.
One time I was falling in love, now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Now again, those songs, Total Eclipse of the Heart and Making Love Out of Nothing at All, those are classic Jim Steinman songs. The late Jimmy Steinman had all these songs with massive length and production value, and he did all of the, you know, the Bat Out of Hell stuff from Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He's done all kind, you know, if you saw the list of songs, it's just classic Jim Steinman. It turns out that on this day in 1983, when those two songs were number one and two on the chart, he became the first solo writer and producer to hold the top two spots in the Billboard Hot 100. Now, out of sheer coincidence, Parker, last night, watching with my daughter, watching some TV, and she says, "Have you ever watched a show called Zillow Gone Wild?" And I said, "No. I know Zillow, the app for, you know, real estate." Yeah. And I've heard of something called Zillow Gone Wild, which I'm sure shows off some wacky houses.
Sure.
And so she put it on, and wouldn't you know, right there was the house that belonged to the late Jim Steinman.
Oh, wow.
That was up for sale, and it clearly qualified for the show. It's
a little wacky.
It's unusual. Yes, a lot of you know, interesting art. Designer clothing, all kinds of instruments around. I believe one of the hallways, the walls weren't painted. They were all leather, for example.
Oh.
It was just, there were so many interesting art objects that were in there.
Yeah.
All for a mansion that was listed at $4 million.
Cool.
And by the way, $4 million in this massive house with all these funky rooms. Two bedrooms. The man did not want to entertain overnight guests. You can come visit. We can have a party here. And now it's time for you to go home. But Ooh. That makes it a little tougher to sell, you know? I mean, because somebody's going to have to create bedrooms out of some of these other more eclectic rooms.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is he still in? Was he just getting out of the house?
I don't know. He's been passed away for a couple of years now.
Okay.
So I assume he was still living in it at the time.
I like the idea that they preserved it like that. And one wants to tackle that beast. They just keep it that way.
Well, the listing agent said, you know, we want it this way because we want somebody to kind of protect a lot of what he put into it. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think somebody will pay top dollar for it and then pay top dollar for, you know, the wrecking crew to come in and make it their own, which they'll have an easier time doing that than they will the other house that they featured in this episode. The Old Shoe. Yes, it was a house built in the shape of a big old shoe, like, you know, like the...
Little Miss Tuckett, is that her name?
There once an old woman who lived in a shoe, so many children, she didn't know what to do. So more like a boot.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So it's a big white, like, boot for a house that you could live in. Somebody builds this for themselves. This whole show is people who build these things for themselves, and then somebody at some point goes, you know, you're going to have to sell this. You're going to have to hope somebody wants this thing. And
yeah, but I'll die first and it won't be my problem.
That's just it. See, it won't be my problem then. You just go with what you enjoy. And that's how, you know, your Zillow Gone Wild and your HGTV and all these things. I'm sure they have to pay a little bit for the rights to tell the story, which is fine because they may not be getting income from any other source anytime soon. They got to pay the property taxes and everything else while they hope somebody comes along and wants a house shaped like a shoe. So
there you go.
Good luck to those folks. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit about some of the top stories that we're following at Up North News. And in our next hour, we will be talking about ongoing threats to public schools through the burgeoning, shall we say, voucher program that is approaching a $1 billion price tag here in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. August 25th, a Utah judge ordered a new congressional redistricting map drawn after finding the legislature had violated the state constitution. October 6th, the legislature defiantly passed a new gerrymandered map. The legislature had previously passed legislation to neutralize Better Boundaries Proposition 4, a voter-approved independent redistricting commission passed in 2018. It ignored the commission's maps and created its own gerrymandered maps benefiting the Republican Party. Both acts were ruled unconstitutional. Third District Court Judge Diana Gibson set November 10th as a deadline for choosing a new map. October 6th, the legislature selected option C as their choice. The map, while slightly more competitive, appears to still lock in U.S. House seats for Republicans, according to the Utah News-Dispatch. It also passed a bill changing Proposition 4's language and requirements. The legislature is not the only stakeholder proposing maps. Plaintiffs, Mormon Women for Ethical Government and the League of Women Voters, also submitted two options on October 6th, both of which comply with Proposition 4's original criteria. Republicans argue only the legislature can approve the final map, not a judge, and hinted at impeachment if she doesn't approve the legislature's map. We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We are saluting October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness. And in the studio with us, we have registered radiologic mammography technologists Marcia Jones and Jessica Shaw back for their yearly visit with us. Good to have you on. You know, your commercial's been playing, and they're talking about mammos and mocktails. I was wondering, Marcia, if you could tell me what that is all about.
Well, our event for October is Thursdays are for the girls at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. We're doing offering a walk-in mammograms every Thursday from 10 to 6. No appointment is or pre-authorization is necessary. This screening is for women age 40 and above. If it's been 12 months since your last exam, check with your insurance to see if you're in network. New patients are welcome. Bring your insurance card, name of your primary care provider, and the facility where you had your last mammogram, if you can recall. After your appointment, celebrate your commitment to your health with a medical or mocktail on us. If Thursdays don't work, you can always call us to schedule an appointment.
This idea for mocktails, that came to you from a patient, didn't it?
Yes. I had two patients actually came together. They were friends. They came in for their mammos and they were going for MRGs afterwards. So we kind of got the idea from there, but we made it mocktails instead of margaritas.
So you guys like actually fixing drinks up there, or what are you doing? That is not usually in the job description, but you figured it out.
No, we're just going to have some mocktails and we're going to mix up a drink and they'll have that. So
funny. That's awesome. That's a good way to hopefully motivate somebody, right?
Yes.
Why is screening so important, Jess?
Well, screening is the number one way to kind of know what we're getting ourselves into, okay? So as we age, our tissues change, and so having a screening mammogram gives us the ability to kind of see over time how things are changing. So we like people to start, you know, it's typically around the age of 40. That gives them, the radiologist, a first view of kind of the way things are. If there's something in there, they will know. And then as you continue doing your screenings, it gives you a good picture of how things are changing or if something changed that we need to further look at.
So you keep that picture from year to year to see if anything's changed.
Yeah, definitely. It's very important, if possible, to have priors for them to compare them to, especially if, as time goes on, if you don't have one for over, you know, 10 years and then something's there, it may look like it's something even if it isn't, but we don't know because you haven't had anything in 10 years. So it's kind of nice to have that comparison for sure.
What are some of the stats right now in terms of the likelihood that a woman will develop breast cancer?
Right now, the statistic that's out there is 1 in 8 women in their lifetime will end up with breast cancer, which really is kind of a crazy number to think about. Breast cancer is the number one cancer in women, other than skin cancer. But it's the number one out there, which is why it's so important in the month of October that we take that time to acknowledge that that is something that we all need to kind of think about and worry about a little bit.
You mentioned those stats, Jessica, but I think each one of us can think of somebody who has been diagnosed with it or has gone through that journey before with breast
cancer.
Definitely. Yeah. Pretty common. Is it higher than it used to be, Marcia, in terms of the likelihood? Are we seeing more of it diagnosed?
Well, I think we're seeing more only for the fact that our technology has got so much better, because back when I first started doing mammograms, we did things on, Xerox. There were zero mammograms, and they were like blue powder on paper. And then we had, cassettes that we had cardboards that had film in them. Then we went to a machine that basically only did breast, and we had another mammogram machine, and then we improved it to digital, and now we do 3D digital. So it makes a big difference. The technology has changed, and a sensitivity of picking up those early breast cancers is huge.
The only thing that I can think about and compare it to is ultrasounds. You know, when a woman is having a baby, I mean, it used to be they could have told me I can't see what's going on. Now everything's pretty clear. Is it kind of the same thing with mammograms?
Well, ultrasound we use as a tool for a diagnostic mammogram. If they have a lump or palpable lump, we do an ultrasound to look at that area, because sometimes we don't see that area on the mammogram, but we detect whether it's a cyst or a cancer on ultrasound. So it's a tool to be used with, with the mammogram. But our patients under 30 years old, we would not do a mammogram. We would do an ultrasound on them.
Okay.
And that would, help us out.
Okay, sure. So you should have one every year after the time you turn 40 then?
Yes. American Cancer Society recommends annual screening mammograms at the age of 40. And many different agencies have their recommendations, but everybody's pretty much agreed that this 40 is the key age to start.
We talked, Jessica, about imaging and what you offer at the Richland Hospital, but does it depend on, like, family history and those kind of things?
So what we offer, and Marcia kind of caught a little bit of this, but yes and no. the family history can determine how early you may start a screening, or it more dictates that and how often. Again, you and your provider, there's kind of a lot that goes into it. But we offer screening mammos, which is something we're kind of pushing, especially for the month of October. You know, we want to make sure we kind of push that along, but we also offer diagnostic imaging, which is the special imaging of particular areas. So if you have a lump or pain or discharge or they find something on a screening mammogram, we do diagnostic imaging also. And then that also leads to the ultrasound that she was talking about. So ultrasound and mammography go hand in hand.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former FBI Director James Comey heads to federal court today under the direction from President Trump's newly installed federal prosecutor in Virginia.
Ahead of Comey's arraignment, the Department of Justice has added two assistant U.S. attorneys from out of state to work on the case. An FBI agent was reportedly relieved of duty after refusing to help stage a public arrest of Comey, though FBI Director Kash Patel called those reports false.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington. Day 8 of the government shutdown is having an effect on the nation's airports. Air traffic controllers are working without pay. Thousands of flights delays yesterday. National Guard troops now positioned outside Chicago, and they could be in Memphis on Friday as the Trump administration pushes ahead with policies against American cities run by Democrats. Israel and Hamas entering the third day of peace talks in Egypt, with more senior officials from the United States now taking part. All sides have been expressing optimism for a deal to end the war.